Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. As the memories of those struggles of your early days recede, you are looking with delight at a settled listener who is listening and learning. We must now keep pace with our very young child's learning, a very different situation, happily so, from the one we found ourselves in not so long ago. So welcome to this episode on the Sound Steps podcast, Keeping Up with Your Child. I really am so grateful to the families and the mothers who have contributed to this episode and participated so enthusiastically in it, sharing their experiences as their child is beginning to become a chatterbox. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. And don't forget to look at the show notes below for resources on this topic. I believe in giving children, especially very young children, the benefit of the doubt, especially once she has been fitted with optimal amplification. As discussed in episode 18 on clear speech, we trust that our child who is deaf or hard of hearing is listening. Of course, the prerequisite being she has been fitted with optimal amplification. And so following on that, we give her the benefit of the doubt. So how do we keep pace with our child, you will ask? Especially since very young children are not going to overtly tell us whether they've understood or are ready to move on, or they need a little more time to understand. But there are always those subtle signs, that look in your child's eyes and the level of her engagement. Pacing is key to our interaction with all children, especially if they are deaf or hard of hearing. We can lose a child if we insist on belaboring a point she's already understood. She's ready to move on. Are you?
If I know what's being said, I would rather finish the thought and move forward.
That's exactly what we should be doing with our children. By that, I don't mean we speak for them. What I'm trying to get at is that if we feel that the child's look or glance, right, is indicating that she's understood, then move on with the discussion rather than repeating something that you know she already knows. Because that is how we keep up with our child's pace of learning.
Ira was sleeping in her room, and in her room, the windows were open. So her room was a little more cooler and compared to my room where the windows were closed. So when she came in my room after her nap, I asked a question, do you know why my room is hot? So she didn't say anything, but she looked towards the windows, saying that she knows that because...
What was your
I feel that she looked towards the windows to check if the windows were closed or not.
My guidance to you would be take that forward, just like you said, that you like to take it forward. Take it forward with your daughter. Keep up with her pace of learning. Yeah, and say, your thinking is correct. The windows are closed, so the cool air can't come in. Verbalize what she is showing you with a glance, right?
Yeah.
And take it forward. Because, as I've explained to you many times before, that the only way to grow is when we are at a level that is slightly higher than our child. If we are both at the same level, there's no place to grow, right? And if we are at such a higher level,
yes,
that the gap between us and our child is so...
Yes, ma'am, and deterioration only might happen because we are not learning new things from each other.
Not so much a deterioration. The gap is so wide. It's like if I ask you to jump across a very wide stream, what's going to happen?
You'll fall down.
You'll fall in the water, right?
Yeah.
So we don't want our child falling between the stools. So we have to manage that slight gap of being sufficiently above her level so as to stimulate her, but not so far ahead that we frustrate her. Or overwhelm.
So there's no easy answer to how do we keep pace with our child? Because to be honest, it really is intuitive. You just know whether your child has understood something or needs more time with that concept or with that language form or with that vocabulary or whatever it is that you're discussing. My guidance is always that as soon as a child shows us that she is understood a form in receptive language, or she is using a form in expressive language, or she's understood a concept in cognition, she's beginning to produce the target sound in speech, it's time to move on, which means that we change the game. We just say the same thing in a different way. Now, things like nice, pretty, beautiful, those are obvious examples that come to mind. But thinking about, say, the monsoon in a country like India or just a wet, wet day in the UK, there is so much that you can talk about the rain. Now, yes, your initial step is going to be to talk about, oh, it's raining. Can you hear the rain? And let's listen to the rain. And it goes pit, pat, pit, pat. But when she's understood that, which is not going to take very much time, to be honest, it's time to then change the way in which we convey the same meaning. Oh gosh, it's raining so heavily. And once she's understood that, oh no, We're going to have a downpour. Have you seen the sky? It is so overcast and grey and dark. Look at those dark clouds. Those are rain clouds. The sun's hiding just now. It's not going to come out just now. The meaning of what we're saying is the same. We're saying that it's going to rain or it is raining. It's just the manner in which we convey that information that is constantly changing, because that is the nature of conversation between fluent speakers. And it's not a point that we reach at a certain age. It's more a stage in your child's development, and who better than you to gauge when your child is actually ready to understand a different way to convey the same information. And that is ongoing till she reaches adulthood, to be honest. I have to confess to a slightly risky streak in me. I like to take a risk. As I said, I like to give a child the benefit of the doubt. Not set up the expectation so far up from where we currently are that the child is going to fall between the stools, because as I've already said, we always set a child up for success. We can pace his learning. So why not stretch him just a little more and see if he steps up to the plate? I so love to share what follows with you, because it gives you a sense of a risk I took when we were reading a book, mother and I, to a child who was approaching his fourth birthday, Brown Bear, Brown Bear, which is a very well-known title. And I was doing it as part of auditory memory. And I just, somewhere within me, I just knew that this child could stretch himself far more than we were currently asking him to remember. And so I won't give it away, but have a listen.
Now, my daughter, I have to really concentrate. We see a brown bear, red bird, yellow duck, blue horse, green frog, purple cat, and white dog. Mama, your turn.
We see a brown bear, a red bird, a yellow duck, a blue horse, a green frog, a purple cat, and a white dog.
We see
brown bear.
Red
bird, yellow dog, blue horse, green frog, cat, purple cat,
and
white dog.
Yes, got it. And will you hold it? And we see a black sheep, a goldfish, and teacher.
And we see a black sheep, a goldfish, and teacher. Your turn.
We see black sheep.
Black sheep and goldfish and
that's cool.
Teacher.
Yes. Now, I've got very greedy.
That's okay. But I love it.
Now I have to really concentrate. I'm going to go for it. Okay. Mama, with your head clear and hold it. We see a brown bear, a red bird, a yellow duck, a blue horse, a green frog, a purple cat, a white dog, a black sheep, a goldfish, and teacher. Mama, your turn.
We see a brown bear, a red bird, a yellow duck, a blue horse, a green frog, a purple cat, a white dog, a black sheep, a goldfish, and a teacher.
Yes, your turn. We see
a brown bear, red bear, yellow dog, blue horse, frog,
green frog,
purple cat, dog,
white dog,
white dog, Black sheep, goldfish, teacher.
I love you.
I think you can hear our delight. I think both mother and I are so holding our breath in anticipation because we can so really feel and smell that this child is going to be able to do it. We just don't want to pressurize him too much. And we just can't wait for him to say that entire story from memory, which he does so beautifully. Yes, there were a few stumbles here and there, but I mean, I don't think I could remember that story at my age. I don't know about you.
As we synchronize our pace with our child's pace of learning, she begins to learn in the moment. It's such a thrill when in therapy we're developing a specific target and the child who didn't have any understanding of that target begins to demonstrate that she does indeed understand. Or better still, she begins to spontaneously use that form herself. I've had parents look at me in amazement, and I look at them and say, "You're the one that's done all the preparation so that she could learn in this moment." I love it. That's what I call learning in session. And it only happens when we're in sync with our child's pace of learning. So that is the point. We need to keep pace with our child's learning. Why, you will ask? So that she stays an enthusiastic listener. Because the one thing that we don't want settling in is either boredom or complacency. I know it. It's been taught. You know, when we try and pre-teach something, which is why I let them learn alongside their classmates in school, because that is the excitement. But when boredom sets in, just because it's the same thing we're doing in the same way every day, and the child takes one look at us and it's like, oh my God, not again. If she's very young, if she's a toddler, she'll throw a tantrum. How else is she going to get us to, you know, wake up and understand that I'm ready to move on? So let's move it. And then what happens is that we get distracted by the behavior that manifests. And we start focusing on the behavior rather than thinking about what is triggering that behavior and what do we need to do to change that behavior. Because therein lies the joy of a successful learner. Thank you so much for your time and interest and for listening to this episode all the way to the end. I'd like to leave you with just this one thought. What is triggering that behavior and what do we need to do to change that behavior? Therein lies the joy of a successful learner. And that is your child. That is the layer that is waiting to be peeled off day after day after day. So trust your child. Trust that she is listening. Give her the benefit of the doubt and trust the process. And you will always be surprised, pleasantly so. And it only happens when we're in sync with our child's pace of learning. And I'm so excited to share that the next episode on this podcast is a delightful one, Firing Imagination Through Play. The title itself suggests the fun you're going to have listening in. So please join in and enjoy the fun with us. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.